नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्णा। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग टुडे सेशन। वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता टाइटल्ड ज्ञान विभाग योगा और ट्रांसेंडेंटल नॉलेज। सो आई डू अ क्विक रिकैप ऑफ व्हाट वी हैव सीन टिल नाउ। इफ यू रिमेंबर इन द थर्ड चैप्टर भगवद गीता कृष्णा डिस्कस्ड अबाउट निष्काम कर्म योगा, हाउ इज निष्काम कर्म योगा प्रैक्टिस एंड हाउ लस्ट एक्ट्स एज एन ऑब्स्टिकल टू practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga and how one can overcome lust. This was described in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So, after describing Nishkama Karma Yoga, Krishna says, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Prokanaham Avyayam Vivasvan Managraha Manur Ikshvakave Bravit. How this knowledge was spoken by me to Vivasvan and Vivasvan spoke it to Vaivasvata Mano spoke it to Ikshu, and in this way evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo viduhu sakalene hamhata yogo nishta parantapa. In this way this knowledge was transmitted through the line of very disciplic succession of very saintly kings, and because it was the role of the kshatriyas to ensure that this dharma is maintained, so they were chosen as one of the very prominent means of disseminating this knowledge by Krishna. And now Krishna says, sayevayam maya tedya yoga prokta puratanah bhaktosi me sakachi rahasyam hetaduttamam. Now that I have chosen you knowledge because you are my devotee and you are my friend, therefore I have chosen you to disseminate this knowledge of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Arjuna with a desire to establish Krishna's supremacy, he asks particular questions which actually will force Krishna to speak about the very exalted and unique nature of Krishna's birth and activities. So Arjuna has this question. Aparam bhavato janma param janma vivasvatah katametad vijaniyam tvam adau proktavaniti. So he says that Vivasvan appeared before you and we both took birth more or less at the same time. How am I to understand, O Krishna, that you spoke this knowledge to Vivasvan? Krishna says, Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavajana tanyaham veda sarvani natvam vetta parantapa. The next few verses he speaks about his janma rahasya, and then he will speak about his karma rahasya, the very confidential nature of his birth and then his activities. So he says, first Krishna says that many births, O Arjuna, and I have taken birth together. I remember all of them, but you do not remember anything. So indicating that Krishna's appearance in various avatars, he disseminates this knowledge not essentially as Krishna, but in the form of various avatars, he disseminates this knowledge. And Arjuna also, as a Nitya Siddha associate of Krishna, is capable actually of remembering. He is definitely capable of remembering all those births. But Yogamaya covers that memory. Yogamaya covers that memory, so he is not able to remember. So that this whole, for the purpose of pastimes, in order to ensure particular pastimes happen in a particular way, Then Krishna speaks about the nature of his birth, which is very distinct and different from the birth of any other living entities in this material world. Ajopisan avyayatma bhutanam ishwaropisan kritim swamadishtaya sambhavami atmamayaya. So he says that my being not born and my being born, both are connected to my constitutional nature. Whereas when the living entity also, he is born and he is not born. His not born is connected to his constitutional nature because there is no birth to the soul. And his taking birth is connected to his material conditioned nature, material conditioned body. Correct. But for Krishna, whether he takes birth or he does not take birth, both are connected to his constitutional nature, which makes Krishna very, very unique. And Krishna also says, Bhutanam Ishwaropisan, that I am the Lord of all the living entities, and none of the living entities can claim that. Some of the living entities may be liberated souls, but even none of the liberated souls, or even the Nitya Siddha living entities, can claim that they are the Lord of all living entities. That is only Krishna. Ajopisan Avyayatma. Avyayatma means Krishna has a body which does not deteriorate, which means it's not a material body. And Swam Prakritim Adishtaya. Swam Prakritim Adishtaya means Krishna's birth is orchestrated by his internal energy, whereas the living entity's birth is orchestrated by the external energy, which is not Swam Prakriti. And Krishna says, Sambhavami. Sambhavami indicates Krishna's free will in his appearance, whereas none of the living entities can actually claim that they take birth according to their free will. They are forced by the law of karma to take birth. Like that, in this way, Krishna speaks about his Janma Rahasya, you know, the very confidential nature of his appearance, which distinguishes Krishna from all the other living entities. Then Krishna speaks about his karma. When does Krishna appear? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. So whenever there is a decrease in dharma and an increase of adharma, Krishna appears at that time. And then Krishna says, for what purpose he appears? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadishtam dharma samsthapanataya sambhavam yuge yuge. For these three purposes of to deliver the devotees from their feelings of obsession from Krishna, vinashaya chadushkritam, and to kill demons who cannot be killed by any living entity of this world, like Ravana, Kumbhakarna, etc. And dharma samsthapanata, to establish the dharma of bhakti. For these purposes, Krishna personally descends. And then Krishna says, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tatvatah tyaktva deham punarjanmaneti mameti so Arjuna. In this way, if one understands the transcendental nature of my birth and activities, such a person, having given up his body, shall never take birth again, and he shall attain me, Krishna says. Now someone may say, oh, this is very easy. All I need to do is to accept Krishna's birth and activities to be transcendental, and I will not take birth again. Krishna says, yes. So someone may say, okay, I accept Krishna's birth and activities to be transcendental. So which means I don't have to chant my rounds and have to perform any sadhana. Just by accepting Krishna's birth and activities to be transcendental, I will go back home, back to garden. Krishna says, yes. Then he says, let us evaluate whether you have accepted Nirvartan activities to be transcendental or not. Let us do an examination. Krishna says, if a person has truly understood, accepted and assimilated the transcendental nature of activities of Krishna transcendental, then he has, there are certain symptoms in that person. What are the symptoms? Vitaraga bhaya krodha manmayamam upashrita bahavo jnanata sta madbhavam agata. So such a person is free from attachment, vitaraga. He is not attached to any any apasampradayic teachings. Vita bhaya, and when someone is presenting some apasampradayic teachings, he will not be fearful. Because he is very firmly rooted in his understanding of the Siddhanta. And Vita krodha, when someone openly speaks these apasampradayic understandings, he will not become because manmaya, because such a person is completely absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna. Because he is very absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna, he will not become angry. Okay. And mam upashrita, and such a person actually take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So there is not a person who can say that I understand and accept that the activities of Krishna are transcendental, but you never see that person taking shelter of Krishna. Taking shelter of Krishna means taking shelter of Krishna through path of Navada Bhakti. So if the person is not sincerely practicing Navada Bhakti, if he is not very firmly rooted in the proper sampradayic understanding and its application, and if he is not absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna, then, and if he has not attained love for Krishna, madbhava magataha, which means if he has not attained the stage of prema, then you cannot say that that person has truly realized that the vartan activities of Krishna are transcendental. So no one can say, oh yeah, I accept vartan activities of Krishna to be transcendental. So he has to pass the examination. So if these symptoms are there, then he has really understood the vartan activities of Krishna to be transcendental. Okay. So then someone says that, okay, if someone activities to be transcendental and performs bhakti yoga, then you will give them your own abode. But not everyone performs bhakti yoga, and not everyone accepts your birth and activities to be transcendental. So do you reciprocate with them at all? Or how do you reciprocate with them? Krishna says, Ye yatamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu vartante manushya partha sarvashah. He says that I respond to persons according to the amount that they surrender to me. So if they accept my birth and activities to be transcendental and worship me for attaining prema, I give them prema. If they accept my birth and activities to be transcendental and perform jnana yoga for liberation, I give them liberation. If they accept my birth and activities to be transcendental and perform nishkama yoga for purifying their heart, I purify their heart. But if they do not accept my birth and activities to be transcendental, if they do not accept my form to be eternal and real and perform bhakti in prema, they don't get anything. And similarly, if they don't accept my birth and activities, my birth and activities to be transcendental, form to be eternal and real, And if they perform Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, anything, they don't get that result. That's what Krishna says. Then Krishna says, Kangshataha Karmanam Siddhim Yajanta Iha Devata Kshipram Hi Manushe Loke Siddhir Bhavati Karmaja. So, if the result of bhakti and jnana is transcendental, and if the result of karma is temporary, then why do people perform karma? Why don't they perform jnana and bhakti? Krishna says that is because people want quick results. They cannot wait for a long time to get transcendental result, because that needs a lot of patience, a lot of hard work. Any transcendental result will take a lot of patience, hard work, which they do not have. People who want quick results, even though they don't mind that it is material and temporary, they accept the path of karma, and such people are generally inclined to worship the demigods. Kangshataha karmanam siddhim yajanta iha devata kshim himanushe loke siddhir bhavati karmaja. Many times we saw that, we did discuss this last few times, that this verse is often misinterpreted to indicate that people who want quick material results, they should not worship Krishna, they worship demigods, because the demigods will quickly give the result, whereas Krishna will not quickly give the results. This is not true. In fact, this verse does not indicate that. This verse indicates that material results can come quickly. Any transcendental result will take time. That is what this verse is talking about. But if we want the same material result by worshipping Krishna or by worshipping demigod, the one who worships Krishna to get that material result will get it fast, actually. It's not the other way around. Okay. And then someone says that, Krishna, you are very partial. Whoever accepts the karma or jnana, they get transcendental material result. Why this partiality? Krishna says, I am not partial. Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam gunakarma vibhagashah tasya kartaram apimam vidya kartavyam. I have created the four varnas for everyone according to guna and karma. Even though I made this system, I am actually detached from the system and I am impartial. I don't care who comes to this system. So if someone properly practices this system, I have made there is a provision to elevate themselves to the path jnana, yoga or bhakti, and eventually aspire to some transcendental result also. So that provision is available to everyone. So those who want only material results, they will not progress forward. So if they want material results, there is the path of karma for them. If they want transcendental results, there is a path of jnana, yoga and bhakti for them. So everything is open for everyone. How can I be called partial? That's what Krishna says. Then Krishna says, Namam karmani limpanti name karma phale spriha itimam yo abhijanati karma bir nasabadyate. He says that actually actions do not contaminate me. I don't get any reaction for my actions. Why? Because I do not desire to enjoy the fruits of my activities in this material world. And itimamyo abhijani karmabir nasabadyate. One who understands this nature of mine, they also are not bound by actions. Meaning that it has two meanings. First meaning is that one who understands that Krishna is not bound by karma because he is not attached to the sense. One who understands this, and thus they also are become detached from the fruits of their actions, they also not be bound by karma. This is one understanding. Another understanding is that one who understands the exalted nature of Krishna, that even though he may seemingly be performing many activities, but he is not bound because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who understands this nature of Krishna, they will also not be bound by karma, two understandings. Then he says, evam gyatva kritam karma purvair api mumukshubhi kuru karmaiva tasmatvam purvair purvataram kritam. He says, my dear Arjuna, all your predecessors, they performed activities, their karma with this understanding of detachment. They never were attached to the fruits of their activities. And therefore, they never became bound to this material world. So, I am telling you, you should also perform your activities with this understanding without being attached to the fruits of your material fruits of your activities. In this way, you can also escape karma bandhana. But for that, it is essential to understand what is karma, akarma, and vikarma. Okay. Kim karma kim akarmeti kavayopyatra mohitaha tatte karma pravakshami yadyatva mokshase ashubhat. He says that one should understand what is karma, what is akarma, and what is vikarma. Only when you can actually escape samsara. Because only then, karma means, that which generates, of course, here it is described slightly different way. One should know karma means prescribed duty. Akarma means sannyas, where one transcends the varna dharma and performs sannyas, karma sannyas. And vikarma means prohibited activities. One should have a very clear understanding of what is karma, what is my prescribed duty according to my varna and ashrama, what is prescribed, what I should do, what I cannot do. Under normal circumstances, what are the professions that I can perform? Under apatkalin paristhiti, under emergency times, what are the activities that I can perform? One has to have a very clear understanding of it. Okay. And kim akarma? Am I ready to give up my prescribed duties yet? Is my heart pure enough? What are the principles? What are the criteria which decide whether I am ready to give up my prescribed duties or not? One should have a very clear understanding of that. And vikarma, what are the actions which are prohibited according to my specific situation of life? Because what is prohibited for class of person may be actually a very strongly recommended activity for another. Therefore, Krishna says, karmanohi api bodhavyam, bodhavyam cha vikarmanaha, akarmanas cha bodhavyam, gahana karmano gatihi. So one should know about this karma, akarma, and vikarma, because the truth about this is not very easy to understand. Because karma, akarma, and vikarma are not universal. They are highly subjective to one's adhikar. So without clearly understanding adhikar, it is very difficult to define what is karma, akarma, and vikarma. That's what he says. Then he says, karmani ama yaha pasyed akarmani cha karmayaha sa buddhiman manushyeshu sayuktaha prachna karma krit. He says, he who sees inaction in action and action in inaction is the intelligent amongst men. He performs all actions. Seeing inaction in action means how a qualified nishkama karma yogi performs all kinds of actions, but because of his detachment from fruits, he does not get any reaction. So action is there, but no reaction. This is karmani akarma yaha pashyet. Even though actions are performed, one does not get any reaction because he is ही इज प्रैक्टिसिंग निष्काम कर्म योग. अकर्मणि च कर्मयः, वेर एज अनदर पर्सन हु इज नॉट परफॉर्मिंग एनी एक्शन, विच मीन्स ही हैज टेकन सन्यास, बट स्टिल ही विल गेट रिएक्शन. वाई? Because he took up to sannyas without qualification. His heart is not yet purified. Because his heart is not yet purified, if he takes up sannyas, he will get sinful reaction because he is neglecting those activities for which he is actually qualified for. He is qualified to be a grihastha following his varna dharma, but he gives up his varna dharma, he gives up his ashrama dharma, and he takes up to sannyas. So he will get sinful reaction for that. Okay. Then, he says, yasya sarve samarambaha kama sankalpa varjitaha jnanagni dagda karmanam tam ahuhu panditam budaha. So, how is it that someone performs action but does not get any reaction? He says, the wise say that he is learned who engaging in all activities but being devoid of the desire for enjoyment has burned up actions by the fire of knowledge. So which means he is engaged in his varna dharma, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya or shudra, but he has no desire to enjoy the fruits of his actions, which means essentially he is practicing nishkama karma yoga. And he says anagni dagda karmanam, all his reactions are burnt by the fire of knowledge. It's a person. So this is actually karmani akarma yaha pashyat. Even though action is performed, there is no reaction. Then he says, Tyaktva karma phalasangam nityatripto nirashrayah karmani abhipravrittopi naiva kinchit karoti saha. And such a person, even though he may be very intently engaged in performing his varnashram duty, Tyaktva karma phala asangam, because he has given the attachment to enjoying the material fruits of his actions, and because he is always satisfied and not dependent on others, such a person does not get any reaction, and he will not be bound to this material world. And further he continues, Nirashir yatachittatma tyakta sarva parigraha shariram kevalam karma kurvan napnoti kilbisham. Having given up dependence on others and being without desire, yatachittatma, and having a completely controlled mind and body, and performing actions only for supporting his body, such a person does not incur any sin. You know, there is no sin reaction. How, if one perfectly practices Nishkam Karma Yoga, even though there is engagement in action, it does not generate any reaction which will bind one to this material world? This is the meaning of understanding inaction in action. Even though action is there, it does not generate any reaction. Okay. Then he says, Yadricha labha santushto dvandvatito vimatsarah samasiddha vasiddhau cha kritvapi na nibadhyate. Okay. So yadricha labha santushto, such a person is very satisfied with whatever comes of its own accord. He is freed from dualities, free from envy. He is very calm and composed in face of success or failure. And such a person, even though engaged in his varnashram duties, he is not bound. Kritvapi na nibadhyate. Further he says, Gata sangasya muktasya jnanavastita chetasaha yajnaya acharata karma samagram pravili. This is the last verse. Okay. Last but one verse which indicates the nature of a Nishkama Karma Yogi, Prapa Nishkama Karma Yogi. He is Gata Sangasya Muktasya. He is devoid of the desire to enjoy the results. He is free from attachment. Jnana Avastita Chetasaha. He is absorbed very clearly in the knowledge of the soul, knowledge of the duties which are prescribed to him according to his varna, and knowledge of liberation also. Okay, so and yajnaya acharata karma, and because he is engaged in actions while giving up the fruits to the Lord, samagram praviliyate, he does not accrue any karmic reactions. And then he says the essence of nishkama karma yoga is brahmarpanam brahmahavir brahmagnau brahmanahutam brahmaiva tena gantavyam brahma karma samadina. Such a person, because he is brahma karma samadina, because he is absorbed in the actions of Brahman, because he is performing all actions with the goal of attaining liberation, and he has no desire to enjoy the fruits of his work in this material world, with that mood, when he performs his prescribed duties, then even though all the objects that he may be using may be material in nature. For example, the spoon that he uses to pick up the ghee to add in the fire itself, the person himself, all of them may be material, but because performing all those activities with a very clear aim of offering the fruits to the Lord and attaining liberation, Brahma karma samadhina, because of being absorbed in the actions of Brahman, all of them become transcendental in nature. The ladle becomes Brahman, the fire becomes Brahman, and so on, like that. So then, in this way, he is now going to describe different types of yajna. How the yajna, the forms of yajna, their external form may be different based on the qualification of the person who is performing yajna. But if this mood of Brahma Karma Samadhina is very clear, if I am doing it for purification, attaining liberation, and I don't have any attachment to enjoying the fruits of those actions, if that mood is very clear, then one attains liberation by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. So he says, Daivam eva pare yajnam yogina paryupasate brahmagna vapare yajnam yajnena evopajukvati. He says, some karma yogis, they engage in the devatas, in the worship of the devatas. These are not people who understand, who are yajna karma samadhina. They perform yajna, but they don't have the aim of liberation, and they are not performing the yajna for the pleasure of the Lord. They are doing it for the worship of devatas. So they don't. Apare brahmagna aparyajnam yajnenaivopajuhvati. Whereas the other people who are proper jnana yogis, they offer the jiva into the fire of Brahman by the means of the mantra Om. So which means, they, with the aim of merging in the Brahma Jyoti, they have the aim of merging in the Brahma Jyoti, with that they offer themselves by practice of jnana yoga with predominant chanting of Om. They offer the jiva in the fire of Brahman, like that. Then, Shrotradin Indriyanyanya Samyamagnishu Juhvati Shabdadin Vishayananya Indriyagnishu Juhvati. So, he says there are Naishtiki Brahmacharis. What kind of yajna do they perform? Shrotradin Indriyani Samyama Agnishu Juhvati. Okay. They offer their senses as oblations in the fire of the controlled mind. Right? So which means their mind controls their senses, which means they are completely sense controlled, which means they practice sense control. That is their yajna for the Naishtiki Brahmacharis. Shabdadin Vishayan Anya Indriya Agnishidvati. Whereas there are other brahmacharis who cannot practice such level of Naishtiki brahmacharya. So what they do? Shabdadin Vishayan Anya Indriya Agnishidvati. They offer the sense objects in the fire of the senses, which means they engage in in a sort of purification, which is allowed and accepted in the shastras. Okay. So this is where we ended our discussion last time, I guess. So we are going to see few more tapa yagyas, which are which look different in externally in form, but when performed in the mood of Brahma Karma Samadhina, it also leads to liberation eventually, like that. So before we continue today's discussion, take today's discussion forward. If there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone wants to share as add, you can please go ahead, raise your hands, and we can take it. Before that, there are some questions in the chat box, lot of questions. If they are connected to whatever we have discussed now, then we will take those questions. In verse 4.20 to 24, Krishna talks about Nirashir, free of dualities, free of enviousness, self-satisfied. We as a devotee chant 16 rounds, but there is some degree of sense gratification in heart, not pure for Krishna. So is this akarma or will it create reaction? See, for devotees, even though certain anarthas may be there in the heart, and we may sometimes succumb to those anarthas also, like lust, anger, envy, greed, and pride, etc., it will not lead to any karmic reactions. But succumbing to those anarthas, they will actually slow down our progress on the path of devotional service. That will happen. So will we accrue karma? Will not. So according to what is karma? Okay, the later part of the question I don't understand. Okay. So Vishnu creates the jivas for yajna karma, and by this karma one pleases devata. So here yajna means prescribed duties or dhamma of nishkama karma yoga. I mean both are same. Prescribed duties, dharma of nishkama karma yoga is prescribed duties only. Do jnana yogis worship personal form of the Lord? Yes, they do worship the personal form of the Lord. They have to, proper jnanis, proper jnana yogis. Why then are they called impersonalists? Because their goal is to merge in the impersonal Brahman. That is why they are called as impersonalists. You said in the first chapter that Jnana Mishra Bhakta attains Shantarati because they are at the stage of Bhava. How is Bhava stage? With a glimpse of Jnana. Yeah, with a glimpse of Jnana, very slight tinge of Jnana, but with predominant Bhakti. But still, if one is significantly progressed on the path of that kind of Jnana Mishra Bhakti, one can reach till the stage of Bhava. But even that stage of Bhava, you cannot experience the evolved rasas of Dasya, Satya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. The Shanta Rati, which is actually borderline, you can't even call it as Bhava in the strictest sense. One can reach still there. Anything else based on what we have discussed today? Anything anyone would like to share? Add? Okay, let's continue our discussion then. सर्वाणींद्रिय कर्माणि प्राण कर्माणि चापरे आत्मसंयम्य युवाग्नौ जुह्वति ज्ञान दीपिते अपरे वाइल अदर्स जुह्वति जुह्वति मीन्स दे ऑफर एज ऑब्लेशंस. ओके सर्वाणि इंद्रिय कर्माणि. ओके सो द ऑब्लेशन इज इंद्रिय कर्माणि एक्टिविटीज ऑफ सेंसेस and the fire. What is the fire? He says sarvani indarmani prana karmani. Okay, and the activities of the senses and prana, they are offered in the fire of atma sanyamya yogna. Into the fire of the soul. Jnanadipite atma sanyamya yogagno. Into the fire of that soul which is lit by knowledge. Okay. So who are these people? You see here, in all these yajnas, there is a fire, there is an oblation. Okay, the form of the fire changes, the oblation that is offered changes, but if there is Brahma Karma Samadhina, an understanding that I am doing it for liberation, then gradually that process leads to knowledge, and that knowledge eventually leads to liberation. That is the understanding. Okay, so there are some other practitioners who offer the activities of the senses and prana into the fire of the soul. Okay, what is this? Shina Chakradhirakur says, others knowledgeable of Tvam. Tvam means the Jiva. Tat means the Lord. Okay. Others knowledgeable of Tvam, the pure soul, offer the activities of all the senses, such as hearing and seeing, as well as the activities of the 10 pranas, into the fire of purity of the Jiva, which means they engage all the activities of the senses and prana for purification of the Jiva. These yogis make the mind, intelligence, senses, and 10 pranas disappear. Disappear means they stop their functioning. They think that only the soul perceiving inwards exists, not anything else such as the mind or other things. So gradually, they offer these other things into the fire of the pure self and they also offer the actions of the 10 pranas as follows. Okay, what are the 10 pranas? The prana goes outward, exhaling. The apana goes downwards, expelling. The samana assimilates food and drink. There are 5 mukhya pranas, 5 gauna pranas. 5 primary pranas, 5 secondary pranas. So, prana, apana, udana, vyana and samana, these are the 5 primary pranas. Then there is Krukara, Devadat, Naga, Kurma, Krukara, Devadatta, and Dhananjaya. These are the 5 secondary. Okay. So the Udana leads upwards and the Vyana is pervading, regulating the other pranas. Okay. And then Naga governs belching. When we belch, that is also governed by a particular prana called as Naga. Kurma causes opening of the eyes. Krikara causes sneezing and hunger. Devata causes yawning and sleep. Dhananjaya pervading the whole body, lingers after death, causing decomposition. So in this way, there are 5 primary pranas and 5 secondary pranas. And 1 hour's one offers the all the functioning of this prana and the senses into the air of the soul for purifying the soul. Like that. See, these are like, even if you don't understand these processes very clearly, it is no problem because it is not our practice. But just that, there are different practices. Some fall under karma, some fall under jnana, some fall under ashtanga yoga, some fall under, you know, other types of yoga. But as long as all these are practiced in the mood of Brahma Karma Samadhina, all these are practiced with an understanding of their adhikar and also for the purpose of attaining the liberation, then all of that eventually leads to knowledge, and knowledge eventually leads to liberation. That is the understanding. Like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share as had? Okay, let's continue. Dravya yajnastapo yajna yoga yajnastata pare swadhya yajnana yajnascha yatayas samshitabhrata apare yatayah, whereas others who are yatis means renounced people, samshita vrataha, they engage in severe vows. Severe vows, what kind of vows? Dravya yajnas tapo yajna yoga yajnas tata, of charity, dravya yajna, they give in charity the dravya, tapo yajna, they perform activity, austerities, yoga yajna, you know, they perform Ashtanga Yoga, Swadhyaya Jnana Yajna, and studying the Vedas. So, the point is, if you remember, there is Sakama Karma Yoga for escaping sinful life. Then there is Nishkama Karma Yoga for purification of heart. Then there is Jnana Yoga for self-realization. Then there is Ashtanga Yoga for Paramatma realization. Then it leads to liberation. So, starting from Nishkama Karma Yoga till Ashtanga Yoga, it is various stages of the same process only. Okay, all of them want liberation. So, the various yajnas that are described here are practices which are prescribed either for the Nishkama Karma Yogis or for the Jnana Yogis or for the Ashtanga Yogis. And if all of them perform what is prescribed to them with liberation in mind and unattached to enjoying the material fruits of those activities, then all of these activities will eventually generate knowledge which will lead to liberation. That is what is described here in detail. Various different kinds of yajnas are given. Some are meant for, you know, people at different stages of their progress towards liberation. Either at the stage of Nishkama Karma Yoga, even within Nishkama Karma, some may be, Brahmanas, some may be Vaishyas, Shudras, and some may be at the level of Vanaprastha, then maybe at the level of Sannyas, and within Sannyas, someone may be practicing the level of some limbs of Jnana, someone may be performing some limbs of Ashtanga for either self-realization or Paramatma realization. But of that, you can say it all, when performed with the goal of attaining liberation, with detachment from enjoying the material fruits, it eventually leads to the same goal by generating knowledge. That's what it says. Others may engage in severe vows of charity, austerity, Ashtanga Yoga, etc., and studying the Vedas, depending on whatever, these are prescribed for different people at different levels. So he says, those who offer good charity, those who perform austerities like the Chandrayana Vrata, those who engage in Ashtanga Yoga, those who put effort into engaging in knowledge by studying the Vedas, all these engage in very serious Vrata. Yatayaha Samshita Vrataha. Okay. But again, if there is Brahma Karma Samadhina, then it eventually leads to Brahma Arpanam, Brahma, Brahma Agno, Brahmana. None of these activities will bind them to this material world. It will deliver them from this material world. Like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share? Ask ahead. Okay, if there is none, we will continue. Then he talks about the apane juhvati pranam prane panam tata pare prana panagativa pranayama parayanaha apare niyataharaha pranan praneshu juhvati. He says apare, whereas there are others. Pranava parayana, those who are dedicated to controlling their breath. Okay, that is their main sadhana. Pranayama parayana. What do they do? Prana apana gati rudva. They stop the movement of the pranavayu and apanavayu. Apane juhvati pranam, prane apanam tata. They offer the prana into the apana and vice versa. These are pranayama parayana, those who are engaged in the preliminary stages of yoga. Apare, whereas others, niyata aharaha. Some others, their prescribed practices are, they control eating, pranan praneshu juhvati. They offer the senses into the pranas. Okay. So which means, when someone does not eat, the prana becomes weak. When the prana becomes weak, the senses become weak. Especially the karmendriyas. The karmendriyas derive their strength from prana. Okay. For example, karmendriyas means our legs, our hands, anus, genitals. They are karmendriyas. They derive strength from prana. From anna. So therefore, if you starve, either if you don't eat, or if whatever you eat is not assimilated by the body, then the karmendriyas become very weak. You cannot walk, you cannot lift. You go down, you climb up a flight of stairs, you feel completely exhausted. Why? Because prana has become weak. Why prana has become weak? Because insufficient food or insufficient assimilation of nutrition due to whatever problems with the body. So then the senses become very weak. So whereas others, in order to control their senses, what do? They actually stop eating. And when they stop eating, then actually their their prana becomes very weak. When their prana becomes weak, their senses become weak. When their senses become weak, there is sense control. these are some kind of practices which are mechanical, which are practiced by these kind of yogis, but with the ultimate purpose of attaining Brahman, right? So he says, others who are expert in pranayama offer the upward prana into the downward apana. At the time of fully inhaling, they merge the prana with the apana. At the time of fully exhaling, they offer the apana. I don't know what it means. If some of you know, you can share. At the time of kumbhaka, so there is kumbhaka, puraka, rechaka, right? So puraka is, you know, inhaling. So while inhaling, they merge the prana with the apana. Rechaka means exhaling. While exhaling, they offer the apana into the prana. And at the time of kumbhaka, what is kumbhaka? Means when you are holding, you know, you inhale, hold and exhale. So holding is called as kumbhaka. They stop the movement of both prana and apana and become completely absorbed in the practice of pranayama. So this is also practiced by the Ashtanga yogis at stage of their practice. Okay. Others, desiring to conquer the senses, control the eating process. That is, they eat little. They offer the senses into the pranas, which are subsisting on restricted eating. Okay. When the pranas become weak, the senses being dependent on the pranas become incapable of grasping the sense objects and become merged in the pranas. So this is the meaning. So this is a way of sense control. But this is very mechanical, right? Like that. Any quick discussion points here? Comments, questions? Yes, Shyamlal Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu.
So, Prabhuji, these are all different stages of, as you said, Gyan Yoga and Hatha Yoga, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Because from the beginning, offering the senses, sense object to the senses, then offering the senses to the mind, then control of, are they increasing levels of the same process, or they are different processes?
Well, they are in one sense the same process at different levels of yogic maturity. No. It is one process only. Like they say, the ladder, right? These are like, there are, these processes are different trunks of the same ladder.
Okay.
So because the goal is the same, but at different levels of their purification and their gradually when they move ahead, their adhikar changes. According to their adhikar, those prescribed duties also change. So some are for vanaprasthas, some are for sannyasis, some are for grihasthas, some are for grihasthas of different varnas, like that.
Okay. Right. So, the purpose of my question was, if they are different levels of the same process, mm-hmm. at any point of time, they wouldn't merge into bhakti. Nay, that does not happen, or can it happen like that?
They are fortunate enough to get the association of devotees. So if they are fortunate enough to get the association of devotees and gain some Ajnata Sukriti, then it is possible for them to then it is possible for them to actually take up to bhakti. Not otherwise. It is not a natural, naturally by practicing this karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, they will not naturally come to the stage of bhakti. It will not happen.
So is it that when they come in contact with devotees, they will also have to start from Adho Shraddha, then Bhajana Kriya and everything?
Yes.
Okay. But probably they will progress faster than like how we normal devotees, you know, there is no sense control or anything. So they would progress faster than normal devotees.
Well, this is a very good question you have asked, bro. It is not as simple as we think. Because in devotional service, what happens when one progresses Adho Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartana Vritti? So with gradual progress on the path of bhakti, two things parallelly happen. One is Anartana Vritti and Artha Pravritti. As we see, bhakti pareshanubhavo viraktir anyatra chesha trika ekakala. So progress in bhakti, developing attachment to Krishna and developing detachment from this material world, all three parallelly progress. But for person who has been on this gradual path, he will have a very lopsided progress. Anartha Navritti, on one hand, he may have achieved significant Anartha Navritti, but there is zero Artha Pravritti. There is no development of attachment to Krishna. So for that, he has to start from the scratch. So while Anartha Navritti, the effort of bhakti that has to go into Anartha Navritti may be less, but the same amount of bhakti has to go into developing his attachment to Krishna. But one obstacle that he might face in that because he already has been practicing one of the other yogas, either karma yoga or nishkama karma yoga or jnana yoga, whatever it is, depending on from which stage he comes in touch with the devotees, that conflicting faith. So because he's transitioning from a very strong either jnana value system or a yoga value system to bhakti value system, from one type of scriptures to another type of scriptures, so he may have some problem with respect to this conflicting faiths, the jnana faith versus bhakti faith. It was something which the jnana recommends, like jnana very strongly recommends vairagya, whereas bhakti says no, this kind of agya will make the heart very hard, so you should not. So if already by practice or agya, if his heart is very hard, then bhakti has to work overtime to make that heart soft. So it is not like very straightforward that someone who has already significantly developed a great level of sense control by practicing these other processes, when they come into bhakti, will they automatically progress very fast? One cannot say that because it is much more complex than what we think. You know, it is, you know, how the swabhava may be cleaner, but then the faith may be very muddled. So, therefore, how soon this conflicting faiths can be resolved and one develops one becomes very firmly situated in pure devotional faith, it depends on that. So, you cannot say for sure. It also depends on the association that he gets, what kind of association, how strong association, and how he embraces that association and overcomes this conflicting, shraddhas, and establish how soon he gets established in pure devotional faith. without any tinge of this karma jnana yoga, it all depends on that, actually.
Right. Thank you, Prabhu. So that makes sense why it is said jnana karma anavritam.
Yeah, jnana karma adi anavritam. Jnana, yes.
Karma anavritam is because that jnana karma may also poses an obstacle in our artha pravritti.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Fine. Thank you, Prabhuji. Arima.
Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Okay. Yes, Shyamali Mataji.
So, Prabhuji, just my understanding that all the processes of like the approach of sense control in Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga, we have a parallel in bhakti in the limbs where I don't remember the exact limbs now, but at least, you know, minimal, live a simpler life. And there are parallels there, right?
Yes, in one sense, there are some parallels. But the
difference is in the approach that we do it. Like, if we are not... eating simpler food and all, with a softer heart. If the mood is in the mood of austerity, or I don't know, the mood that is in this part, like in Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, probably the mood is more of austerity and I don't know, strength and stuff. So in bhakti, even if we have to go through the path of sense control, but we should have a softer demeanor. Like,
no,
am I right?
Actually, the purpose of the way the sense control is practiced in bhakti, sense control is incidental. In the other processes, sense control. Yes, in bhakti, sense control is not a means. The purpose is not sense control. The purpose is to accept whatever is favorable to please Krishna. So, every single activity is guided by this principle of, will it please Krishna and Guru? So, because it is driven by this higher principle, if there is a need to refrain from accepting some sense object, we refrain. If it is favorable to accept it, we accept. So the goal is not to give up sanctification. The goal is actually to accept those things which please Krishna. So that way the heart does not become the heart. But when you say no, you like it, say no. You like it, say no. You know, that is not the mood. The mood is not to say no to what you like. The mood is to say yes to what Krishna likes. So it is just like, you know, and it makes the heart soft. So just like if someone, you know, is very, you know, he wants to say no to every act of sense gratification, it definitely makes him sort of little frustrated and hard-hearted. Whereas if someone is a father or a mother, let's say, and they like a chocobar ice cream, okay, and if there is the son also likes chocobar ice cream, okay, so they open the freezer, they find one chocobar ice cream, the father wants to eat it, and the small son says, eat it, right? The father will sacrifice that chocobar cream for the son to eat it. And this will not, he will not feel bad, because when he sees the son smiling and happy, you know, that will give him greater joy than actually getting the pleasure of gratifying his tongue by eating the chocobar ice cream himself. So the principle here is not to say no to what likes. The principle is to say yes to whatever Krishna likes to gain the favor and pleasure of Krishna. So therefore, that kind of so it is based on a different kind of goal. So that actually makes the heart softer. Whereas to say no to things, you know, that actually makes the heart very hard.
Yes, Prabhuji, but there is also the aspect of what is good for the karmendriyas to, like, there was a point that was made, right? That you eat or, so that principle is anyways there, right? That you have to take like care that you...
If you eat less, if you starve, your prana becomes weak. When your prana becomes weak, your karmendriyas become weak. So they fought for actually developing sense control. That's what you're talking about, right? So do we do it?
Not just the quantity, yeah, but that principle applies, right? That for your, we have to eat. My point is that should we focus more, like should we really go into details of focusing into the kind of food that is best for our health or for our karmendriyas, we'll have to, you know, put in the thought that, okay, that will please Krishna if we are healthy, right? Sorry, it's common sense. Oh, but
okay. Yeah. I mean, if we focus on healthy eating so that if we maintain our body nicely, we'll be able to serve Krishna better. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a favorable thought process, right? Because if you're eating healthy and maintaining your body is driven by the underlying mood of pleasing Krishna in the longer run by utilizing your body and your abilities in Krishna's service, then that is actually favorable for Krishna consciousness and that is very much recommended.
But what if that analysis, there's how much focus on that analysis should be given? Like, that is my point, because everybody is different. You know, everybody may not, that's my point. When there is a lot of focus on that, you know, for spiritual life, this is what should be eaten, this should not be eaten, and this is what should be procured, and, you know, you go through all the trouble of doing this. So how much of that, I just want to know, is that, like, you know, bhakti?
I cannot see, this cannot be a general answer, cannot be given to this. That is why live guidance is very critical. Live guidance of an advanced devotee who is like-minded, empathetic, and willing to understand what we are going through and willing to guide us. So that that is critical. Otherwise, these are not questions, because we need to understand that person, how much his mind is getting consumed by these things. Is it inspiring him to remain Krishna conscious, or is it hiding his consciousness from being Krishna conscious to organic conscious, food conscious, exercise conscious? You know, one has to, unless we spend sufficient time trying to understand that person, it is very difficult to say. We cannot make blanket statements, because it would become very judgmental actually. So we cannot tell for sure unless we have spent sufficient time with that person and endeavored sincerely to understand that person. It's very hard to answer this question just like that, actually.
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you. If there is no blanket answer, is probably my answer. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It varies from person to person, actually.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Correct. Okay, so if there are no further discussion points, we still have another 12 minutes. We will continue this discussion. So Krishna says, Sarve pyete yajna vidho yajna kshapita kalmashaha yajna shishtam ritabujo anti brahma sanatanam. So Krishna says that sarve api ete yajna vidho, all of these knowers of sacrifice, we saw different, all of these knowers of sacrifice, yajna kshapita kalmashaha, they destroy the sin through sacrifice. Why? We have already seen yajnartha karma anyatra lokoyam karma bandana tadartham karma kaunteya mukta sanga samachara. So all of these knowers of sacrifice destroy the sin through sacrifice because brahma karma samadina, because they perform those activities with the mood of attaining liberation and with detachment from the fruits of fruit from the material fruits of those activities. So therefore, sarve api ete yajna vidho. Yajna vidho means they exactly know the purpose of sacrifice, and they destroy the sins through sacrifice. Yajna shishtamrita bhujo, eating the sweet rinds of the sacrifice. This is not literal. This is figurative. Yajna shishta amrita bhujo means enjoying the fruits of those sacrifices, not literally eating, even though bhujo means eat, but it is figurative eating, not literal eating, right? Yanti brahma sananam, they then attain the eternal Brahman. Brahmarpanam brahmahavit brahmagnav brahmanahutam brahmaiva tena gantavyam. Brahmaiva tena gantavyam means, we saw, right? What is brahmaiva tena gantavyam? The person attains Brahman. Why? Brahma karma samadhina. Because he performs those sacrifices with the mood of attaining Brahman. Therefore, he attains Brahman. Even though the yajna, the external form of the yajna may differ. Like we saw various kinds of yajna, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. So in all these verses, different types of yajna which have a different external form is there. If they are yajna vidho, yajna vidho means what? Brahmarpanam, brahmahavi, brahmagnav, brahmanahutam, brahma ivatena gantavyam, brahma karma samadhina. So yajna vidho means what? Yajna vidho means brahma karma samadhina. That is the meaning of yajna vidho, brahma karma samadhina. Okay, so all of these knowers of sacrifice, they destroy the sins through sacrifice. Eating the sweet remnants of the sacrifice, they attain the eternal Brahman. So sweet remnants means, even though ultimately they will reach Brahman, they will attain liberation, but there may be some intermediate fruits of those yajna also they may get. They will get to enjoy that also. Of course, they should not become attached to enjoying it, but they get to enjoy it. Right? So he says, all of those who know the characteristics of yajna as described previously attain Brahman by jnana. So we saw, when you perform Nishkama Karma Yoga, it naturally leads to jnana, and jnana naturally leads to liberation. Like that. So they attain Brahman by jnana. The secondary unsought fruits are here described. So the secondary fruits, but it is unsought because their sought fruit or their desired fruit is only liberation. But in attaining that, while attaining liberation, they may get some secondary fruits also. They enjoy the sweet remnants of yajna, such as sense enjoyment and power, which may bhoga and aishwarya. They may get while on the way to attaining liberation, they may get all these things. Like even on the path of bhakti, even though on the way to prema, we get kleshagni, shubhada, moksha labhutakrit, sudurlava, sandrananda visheshatma. All these things are intermediate things. These are unsought results. A devotee aspires only for Krishna prema. But on the way to attaining Krishna prema, one may attain these other things also. Right. Bhoga and Aishwarya. So the sought result is then described. That is, they attain Brahman. So while attaining Brahman, they may get to enjoy some secondary results also. That is the meaning. Sarve api ete yajna vidho yajna kshapita kalmashaha yajna shishtamrita bujo yanti Brahman sanatanam. Like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions? Anything you would like to share? Yes. Okay, if there is none, we will get it. Next verse. Nayam lokosya yajnasya kutonya kuru sattama. Short verse. Ayajnasya. But one who does not perform the sacrifice, which means one who does not follow this gradual path of Nishkama Karma Yoga, to Jnana Yoga, to Ashtanga Yoga, to liberation. Okay, one who fails to follow this path, Ayajnasya, which means Ayajnasya literally means one who rejects the gradual path to liberation. That is the meaning of ayajnasya. Na ayam loko asti, he will attain nothing in this life. Kuto anyaha, what to speak of attaining anything in the next life? Oh Kuru Sattama, oh best of the Gurus. He will not. If one does not accept this path of yajna and does not perform these prescribed duties, then he will not attain anything in this life, what to speak of attaining anything in the next life. So, Shilasna Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, the results of not acting in this way are described in this verse. One who does not perform yajna does not attain the little happiness available on this planet. What to speak of attaining the planet of the Devatas? So he cannot attain anything, any pleasure in this life and the next life. Neither the secondary unsought pleasure nor the primary desired pleasure. Like that. So then he says, evam bahuvida yajna vitata brahmano mukhe karmajan vidditan sarvan evam gyatva vimokshyase. So he says, evam bahuvida yajna. In this way, there are many types of sacrifices. Vitata brahmano mukhe. Brahmana. Brahma here means the Vedas. Mukhe means, you know, have been spoken. The Vedas have spoken about bahuvida yajna. In this way, there are many, many different types of yajna which differ in their external form. They differ in their external form and are described in the Vedas. Karmajan vidhitan sarvan. Know that they are all based on prescribed actions of body, mind and words. Evam gyatva vimokshase. One who understands very clearly that what is my prescribed yajna according to my qualification. What is my qualification? And according to my qualification, what is the yajna which is prescribed for me,
and how I should perform this yajna with the goal of liberation in my mind. One who clearly understands these things, he will become ready for liberation. That's what this verse says. So Brahmana means the Vedas. The phrase Vitata Brahmano Mukhe would literally mean spread in the mouth of the Vedas, actually means clearly spoken of by the Vedas themselves. So in this way, the Vedas talk about many, many different types of yajnas. Okay. Karma Jan means based on the actions of body, mind and words. Some of the actions include body, some of the actions include mind, some of the actions include words, some of them include two of them, some of them include all three of them. Okay. And all of that is based on one's adhikar, qualification. One who understands one's qualification and the yajnas which are recommended according to their qualification and performs those. So knowing means to perform. When they know and perform those activities according to their prescription, according to whatever is prescribed according to their qualification, vimokshase, they become qualified for liberation. Okay. So there is, okay, I think it's already 9:30. Before we wind up, let's see. Are there any final quick discussion points, comments, questions before we wind up for today? Okay. If there is none, then we will pause here and continue this discussion next week. Thank you all very much for your patient listening here to this participation. We will meet again next week. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Hare Krishna.